Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is Saturday, February the 24th, 2024. And I have the honor to have Professor Jim Fetzer on with me and also Professor Joe. And with that said, I'm going to just hand it over to you, Jim. What's the subject today?
Well, I've been for over a year, perhaps as many as two, explaining that if you view Bibi Netanyahu as our commander-in-chief and George Soros as our domestic president, then everything taking place in the world falls into place. And indeed, that's what we have going on right now, a confirmation from the inside that's exactly the case. George Soros linked individuals, expose themselves, admit to rigging elections all over the world on behalf of the Democratic Party. Listen to this. An explosive series of videos is exposed when can only be described as concerted efforts by Democrats and George Soros linked operatives to rig elections all over the world. These videos capture several powerful individuals from across the globe bragging about they have been responsible for influencing the political outcome in places like Poland, Hungary, Brazil, Turkey, and more. Among these powerful individuals is General Wesley Clark, the former Supreme Allied Commander of Europe for NATO. In one of the clips, Clark can be seen bragging about how he partnered with radical left-wing billionaire George Soros back in 2014 to decide the political leadership of Ukraine. Clark revealed that Soros has been attempting to influence Eastern Europe since the 1990s, paying $500 million a year through his open society institution in key places like Ukraine, which explains why corruption has taken over the European nation. Actually, it's deeper than that. And Victoria Nuland, an assistant secretary of state, expended $5 billion American taxpayer dollars to overthrow the democratically elected government of Ukraine, who was Russia-friendly, to replace it with a Western stooge of whom the current occupant, Zelensky, is the successor. Soros has also had a major influence on stealing the election of 2020, according to this report. I think this is accurate, and it's devastating. Your thoughts?
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, Jim has hit it right on the head. You are following the hierarchy of force. I would take it one step further, and I would include the Rothschild family and going back to and pointing out some connecting dots here. Jay Parker, who was a survivor of a satanic family that lived in Arden, Delaware, he identified Biden and Netanyahu as being Satanists.
Doing human sacrifices on children, folks. Killing them. Drinking their blood.
So, it would fit because you take there's been a picture taken of Maria Abramovic, an artist, and Jacob de Rothschild standing before a picture of Lucifer, calling down Lucifer. So, those are some of the side things that I would kind of keep in mind, because it adds a little bit of depth to what's going on in this insanity.
Go ahead, Jim.
What's actually stunning, turns out that they've affected elections across the world, including in criticism for Brazil's jury Bolsonaro, Hungary's Viktor Orban, Poland's Jaroslaw Kaczynski, for admitting they have strategically funded opposition forces to overthrow these governments. Another of the videos, they have a whole series, shows Wesley Clark bragging about having interfered in the Italian election for years, noting the interference is not coming from the U.S. government, but a number of powerful private individuals looking to advance their leftist agenda. The common theme in all these recordings is that radical Democrats like George Soros are hiding behind seemingly noble goals like saving democracy, while in reality pouring everything they have into ensuring real democracy is destroyed. They've admitted to using their billions to control the media narrative to destroy the reputation of conservatives and then pump cash into their opposition, who would be forever loyal to their financiers like Soros and his buddies on the left. If they're going to these lengths to influence the result of election abroad, imagine the extreme measures being deployed here in America. The most important piece of the puzzle in their quest for complete control. I think this is nailing it. A five-part series revealing the extent of this corruption and interference. Disgusting.
I'm in agreement with you there. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, again, we can see the thread of the powers behind the scene. And it spreads from there all the way, connecting up to Epstein, all the way into Wexner, up in Ohio, and Victoria's Secret, the trafficking of children. And you get to see that it is a satanic impulse that is bringing this about, and they have their stooges, if you want to call it, that I prefer to call it, to advance their agenda. And you can see it down on the border. We have, even when you have a person like Dr. Phil, who is somewhat liberal, goes down to the border to take a look what's going on, and what he saw stunned him. The number of Chinese that are coming through. And we're now supposedly up to 10 million, but I'd say more than that. Chinese military age men, when they were waiting their turn for their interview, there they were standing at parade rest. Huh. And so that is a military position. So it goes to prove that we have a Chinese influence that is developing here right in the United States. So what does that mean? I hate to speculate.
We're in trouble, I know that.
Yeah. So you have in one place, in Eagle Pass, you had like in one day, 14,000 people go through, and they just simply walk, go to BorderHawk.news, and you can go to MichaelYon.com, and you can take a look at first-hand video, and of course, take a look at Anthony Aguero, who has been doing this for the last 6 years. And I like Anthony because he doesn't say a whole lot, but he lets you take a look at the geography that is on the border so that you get a bigger understanding of what it's all about. And so you see them coming in not dozens, but hundreds, just walking through. They line up. The Border Patrol goes in, makes a quick interview. The vans come by, take them down to another station, and dump them off there. And this is now, we're up to 20 million or more, and it's a fact, and the effect can be seen as to what is happening to New York City. The entire city is collapsing. Same thing is going to be for Philadelphia. They had an influx of fentanyl, and now it's spread out to the Crow Reservation in Montana. And so it's a weapon that comes up, the parts being partly made in China, then the rest made in Mexico, and then shipped forward. It's a means by which to take society down. You can go down to any corner where there are homeless, or where you know that they're doing their drugs. You'll see them bent over, staying in this bent over position for hours. That's right, I said hours. And they are in such a state, they're a zombie. Literally a zombie. And so that is the coming off of the wheels. And my opinion, we've crashed.
I'll add to that real quick. The Topeka mayor, apparently back in late October, November, said he will give $15,000 to any migrant to move to Topeka. They're filling up these hotels down here in Topeka right now with them. Anyway.
Well, they are these NGOs, like the Hebraic, which is called HIMAS, Hebraic Immigrant Aid Society, is one of the central groups that are funding and making thousands of dollars on it. Thousands. And one of them, and the perfect example is what Sue was just talking about. You see this. You can go to YouTube and take a look, or even to Blackhawk.news, BorderHawk.news, and they'll give you the videos of what's going on in New York City.
And I do
cops are getting beat up. Other people are getting robbed, and the thug has been released into society. And these guys now, these so-called immigrants, which is not, they're an invader, are forming their gangs. And woe be unto you if you get caught in the middle of that.
I mean, they got shootings all the time in Kansas City. It's 5 to 6 a day over in Kansas City, Missouri, in that area, because of gang-related drug activity. People are getting drugs. They're being fronted, and then they don't pay, so they do drive-by shooting. That's what's going on.
Again, there is, I've said this on several occasions, take a look at Malmo, Sweden, and on certain nights, you can hear automatic gunfire and hand grenades going off or burning cars. So that is what the meaning is of the invader. They're going to form their gangs and they're going to come after you.
Joe, you got any comment? I mean, Jim?
Yeah. I think the situation getting worse in these cities, New York in particular, where they're going after Trump hammer and tongs even before he can make an appeal. There was a fascinating conversation between Eric Bolling and Christina Baum, who is one of Trump's attorneys, very good, on Letitia James, the New York Attorney General, latest move to deny Trump the right to appeal. This is utterly astonishing. Holiness. They're going way over the line. They're going past what American people expect, fair play, bottom line. And this is nothing like that, Christina Baum. You're exactly right. And the idea that they're basically cutting off the appeals process, And the fact that they're trying to jam this judgment down his throat without his ability to use all of his constitutional rights of the judicial process, which include the appellate process, to me, indicates that they know they're wrong. They know they're in the wrong, and that's why they don't want to allow the Court of Appeals to weigh in before they harm him more. And so they're trying to cut off that process and just create more headlines, create more drama, create more turmoil for the president, knowing that they're likely to get overturned. It's shocking. I mean, I don't know how many more times we can use the word unprecedented, shocking, crazy, before it sounds trite. But every next step that they take is shockingly worse than the last. Eric Bowling. It feels like what he's trying to do to get Trump is to forfeit one of his buildings in advance of his appeal process, just so she can get that, like she can get that skin, get that scalp she's looking for, Christina Baugh. That's exactly what she's trying to do. And that's exactly why the law allows for the appellate process. And that's exactly why Judge Egeron was overturned earlier in this case, when he tried to strip Donald Trump of his business licenses. That was overturned on appeal. Because they're saying, hang on, that's irreversible damage. So allow the judicial process and justice system to play out before you inflict an injury that is irreversible. And that's what, you're exactly right, they're trying to do, inflict injury on Donald Trump that can't be reversed. They're coming off the appellate process and saying, we don't care what the Court of Appeals says. We are going to get our pound of flesh from Donald Trump come hell or high water. Whether it's just or not, they don't care. Barricades. You got in a city, in a state, where they reduce felonies to misdemeanors like water, they're trying to stick Trump on the 350 with, by the way, folks, actually 450 with interest and extra fees. They've got this thing, the bond he has to bust up to $450 million, not just 10% of it, but roughly half a billion dollars. Are they insane? Christina Baugh, yes, they absolutely are. It's a massive case of Trump derangement syndrome. There's no semblance of justice here. I believe this statute has been used about 150 times before in New York history. But this is the only case where there's no victim. There are no real damages. And I'd be willing to bet that this is one of the most outrageous penalties, despite the fact that nobody was hurt. So yes, they're quite literally insane. And by the way, investment bankers are saying, forget New York, go somewhere else. Because there's an unstable business climate. When you have perfectly normal business practices, such as Trump giving an assessed valuation of Mar-a-Lago, which is legitimately worth between $250 and $350 million, you can compare real estate prices of adjacent properties. When you're submitting a proposal for a loan from a bank, the bank has its own assessors. The banks go out and make their own independent evaluation. They do not just take the customer's word for it. And then they decide whether there's appropriate collateral to cover the loan. They found so in Trump's case. They've all been paid back with interest. They're all fat and happy. They want to do more business with Trump. But New York is trying to cut him off, make it impossible for him to conduct business. So that you have the governor coming in saying, hey, don't worry, Trump is a special case. If you abide by the law in ordinary business practices, you have nothing to worry about. But that's underlined with, as long as you don't run afoul of Democrat policies. Because it's clear Trump is being singled out as a political action. So any responsible businessman with a lot at stake is going to say, this is not worth the risk. Look what they've done to Donald Trump. He's a former president of the United States, and they can do this to one of New York City's most successful businessmen. The Democrats can do this to hell with New York. And that's going to happen on a massive scale now. As Joel has already been mentioning, you got the swanky stores are closing. You have the lawlessness increasing. The rich are leaving. Now you're going to have major investors departing. What this all means is New York City has growing problems, but fewer resources because of tax revenue they're losing from all the departing wealthy individuals, companies, stores, and the like is going to be catastrophic. So New York City is in a death spiral for which I see no solution.
Now, Jim, you said, you made the statement, they're in the Donald Trump case in New York where they're trying to take away his businesses or his buildings and the whole bit. There's no victim. Nobody was victimized. So if you don't have a victim, you don't have a case. And they just created it out of thin air, the busting.
No, that's a point, Stu. There's this obscure statute that allows legal remedies, even cases where there are no victims, that they're appealing to here. It's all totally outrageous. There's no doubt about that. And it's never been done before. And it's all generated politically. They're citing a statute. I mean, Jonathan Turley went on and explained how unfair this was. The statute had never been used, emphasizing there not only are no victims, but the parties in question would like to do more business with Donald Trump. They find it highly remunerative. They make money with Trump. They like Trump. They support Trump. But the Democrats, who control the legal apparatus, are the opposite, and they want their pound of flesh. This Letitia James is just doing this to be vicious and sadistic, to show she can't do it. It's a lot like Fannie Lewis and why you should have these women in power, and there are others. The governors of New York and of Michigan are prominent examples. Women in power seem to have a misconception about their role as though they're entitled to violate the law, as though they're above the law. And in the case of these district attorneys or attorneys general, it's beyond the pale. It is so outrageous. It is so blatant that it's enough to make you vomit. I think that's how most businessmen in New York are viewing this case. It is a disgrace.
I might, Joe, do you want to add anything to this?
No, go ahead.
In Atlantic City, where Hillary Clinton stood in front of these empty buildings that were Donald Trump's, that weren't finished on the exterior of the buildings. Because Trump went into Atlantic City and he built a real nice casino and he ran Daddy Bush and Leonard Melman out of business, basically. They weren't getting the revenue any longer. Trump was getting it at his casino. So they made him a loan through their insurance companies, made an offer to make him loans on more buildings, because he wanted to add more, four or five buildings. Hillary Clinton stood in front of that and said, oh, look, he bankrupted on these people. They never got paid, these subcontractors. No, if you bankrupt, which he did, on those insurance companies, the insurance companies have to pay those subcontractors. They never paid them. But the insurance companies were owned by Leonard Melman, my ex-father-in-law, and Daddy Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush. They owned Atlantic City. So they busted him. And it was Henry Kissinger, who was a New World Order fallen angel-possessed pig, that took him to Deutsche Bank to bail him out so he could keep his original building. But I just wanted to add that. I mean, they have done everything they can to destroy Donald Trump in every way. Every way. Now, you talk about witches in power. I want to mention this. You got this Nikki Haley. I think Donald Trump's going to get locked up, so then she'll be the presidential candidate for the Republican Party. I want everybody to understand something. This woman has taken drug money and contributions from the Koch brothers, Koch brothers they call them. They're out of Wichita, Kansas. They're multi-billionaires, and they haul drugs for the CIA and has for years in their trucks. And she takes contribution money. I posted about the Koch brothers and Nikki Haley here about a month ago, and you can see their resume, Koch brothers, Koch brothers they call them. and see their resume. I mean, they're tied to every kind of New World Order pig plan that there is out here, organization. But Nikki Haley, she should be arrested for knowingly taking drug money from drug dealers. And she hasn't been. You want to comment, Joe or Jim?
Well, Nikki Haley is a Democrat substitute. They're just trying to drag it out. She's rested on Democrat votes in New Hampshire. She still lost massively. She's appealing to Democrat voters in South Carolina, where she formerly served as governor, but Trump has about a 30-point lead. She's going to lose there, too. She's being funded by Democrats to drag it out, to have more opportunities, you know, to keep Trump having to go on the campaign trail, though he loves it, and the people love him. I mean, everything the Democrats are doing are backfiring, because the public sees what's going on, and they are on Trump's side. In fact, it makes him stronger and stronger with many elements, especially black communities, who have been abused by the law again and again and again in the past. It is outrageous. Joe.
Well, continuing in that light, it makes me wonder, how is Trump going to make it to the time of November when the vote comes in? And furthermore, if he's elected, he wins the election, what are these Democrats going to do? It's not beyond them to revolt and to have their own presidential election. And they'll elect their president. And so we'll see a continuation of this dismemberment of the United States.
Well, we had 4 years of Hillary claiming that Trump had stolen the election in 2016, and there was a plea for criticism. But with Trump, and she was, of course, wrong. The election had been set up for her. If she had won, it would have been a stolen election to benefit the Democrats. But when Trump accurately and truthfully points out that the 2020 election is stolen, he's suddenly attacked for being un-American and undemocratic, because, of course, all of elections are fair and safe, but this was the most secure in history when it was the opposite. We even have the latest study of mail-in voting, showing that 1 in 5 of those surveyed were admitting to ballot improprieties. In other words, there was ballot malfeasance in 20% of the cases, which would have affected all 6 of the swing states that carried the election for Biden. In other words, absent mail-in voting, Trump would have been the president, because it was the manipulation of the mail-in ballots that made the decisive difference, which is consistent with other reports. They were going all out every possible way to steal that. They fear Trump. It's such a remarkable phenomenon. But Trump has a connect with the American people unlike any other politician of my lifetime. You'd have to go back to FDR or JFK to find anything approximating how Trump resonates with the American people. They fear that.
Go ahead, Joe. You got any comment?
No. Just continue on.
Okay, now, I want to point out something that is on my website. And you mentioned Israel right off the bat, Jim. The Star of David. David had no star. If you go to the top of my website, you'll see a picture of Israel with a bomb going off inside that star. It's the Star of Rempan, R-E-M, P-H-A-N, it's in Acts 7:43. Go read it, folks. It's the devil. It's the star of the devil. They're devil worshipers. They don't believe in Jesus Christ. They killed him. I want to bring that up. And second, I thought we had an MP, what do they call it, an MP attack this past week, because my Wi-Fi went down. It's a Wi-Fi hotspot, and all of AT&T was down from about 11:30 in the evening until about 1 o'clock the next day. 70 million customers were affected in the United States. Now, that was either Wednesday or Thursday. I forgot which day it was. But they did. I thought we were had an MP something attack, where they knocked down the electronics. and all that. I thought, man, we're getting ready to have a war, you know. So I don't know. Someone did it for some reason, whether it's Chinese did it, whether the Russians did it, someone did it, or our government did it to frighten everybody. I don't know. I thought that's
a person. I think it was a beta test to see what could be done. AT&T is claiming it was their mistake that one of their servers was affected adversely by entering the wrong code. They always want to have a plausible explanation for what happened that's innocuous, when in fact what's going on actually is serious and threatening. But I believe it was just a pilot test to see, you know, how the public would respond and how effective it could be on a small scale when they're anticipating doing it on a large.
Very possibility. But I don't know. We got problems. Everybody's preparing for war. China is. Switzerland is. We're preparing their people. Prepare for war. I mean, this thing in Israel, they're out of control. And it's out of control over there in the Ukraine. And that's the Khazarian Jews, folks, that took over Palestine and killed 40,000 of them in mass graves, and then turned around and drove them to the Palestinian coast, they call it. And now what are they doing? They're slaughtering those people. I mean, it's ridiculous what's going on. But that is going to drive it, I believe, into World War III. And when we have a war over here in America, we don't have these food processing plants any longer. How many of them burned down, Joe? 20 or 40, something like that? Joe?
Yeah, that's about right. That's one of the things. How is it that a food processing plant for chickens blew up?
And it's more.
Now they're burning it down.
Yep. Or bringing them down, but we're gonna have a problem, especially with all these illegal aliens in here. They're gonna be robbing and looting and stealing to be fed, and that's what's gonna happen. We're gonna have a mass amount of people dead. I just got that feeling, but I don't plan on being one of them. I was trained to take them out if I have to, and so was Jim Fetzer, Marine Corps, both of us. Even though we're up in age, I can still do my thing. Never have yet, but it's there to be done if it need to be. But you got any other subjects, Jim or Joe?
Well, there's a new $8 billion, $14 billion for Israel for a multi-front war. In other words, they're anticipating Hezbollah is going to become involved. I've been surprised. Hezbollah hasn't been involved already. Hezbollah is 10 times more powerful than Hamas, and Hamas has already been defeating the Israeli Defense Forces. So it's a rather fascinating situation where I think that Israel is going to eventually find its goose cooked, up where the U.S. has gone all in. In fact, as I said, if you assume Bibi is our commander-in-chief, then you understand why we're being so supportive of Israel's slaughter of the Palestinians. I mean, genocide is unacceptable under any standard. This is a violation of international law, Hague Convention, Geneva Convention. It's immoral in the eyes of the world. But to the Zionist Jews who run Israel, they are following a higher law, God's law, which entitles them as a chosen people to the promised land and to eliminate all Palestinians from their own homeland, whether by death or exportation. And it's continuing unabated on a massive scale. Absolutely staggering what's taking place here.
You got any comments, Joe?
No, no.
I think you pretty much said it, Jim. What else you got to report, either one of you?
Nothing here. Just keeping an eye on the border, everybody.
What else you want to cover, Jim?
Well, there's a lot more. There's a wonderful interview that Judge Napolitano did with Phil Giraldi. Let's listen to a few minutes of this, because it's really good.
Okay.
Our dear friend and regular commenter, Phil Giraldi, joins us now. Phil, thanks very much. Always a pleasure. Some recent news in the past 24 hours, one of which you wrote extensively about in a brilliant and gifted and devastating analysis, and that is the United States vetoing, I believe now for the third time, a resolution in the UN Security Council calling upon the Israeli government to cease fire in Gaza. The other news, this is just hot news that happened in the past 15 minutes, is that Prime Minister Netanyahu has ordered Rafah to be evacuated. To where? We'll start with the UN about which you have written this sophisticated analysis. Is it just hopeless to expect that the UN can achieve any measure of protection for the Palestinian people in the face of the slaughter and genocide visited upon them by the Israeli government?
Well, yes. I mean, the fact is that the UN was set up basically to deal with these kinds of international situations by setting up mechanisms that would unite countries to intervene if something like a genocide or something like that were to be taking place. The problem is, when the UN was set up, it was set up with five members who were permanent members of the Security Council and who have vetoes. The United States has basically been the problem here. They, on three occasions, as you noted, have vetoed attempts to initiate a ceasefire. And these attempts were all different. I mean, they had different features and different ways of going about it. And a lot of the discussion that went into these proposals were basically out of consideration of the United States veto and how to make the United States or to convince the United States that a ceasefire and negotiations would be in everyone's interest. So the United States is the bad player here. Israel's going to do whatever they can to basically get rid of the Palestinians. And accepting that, the United States should not be cooperating in the effort because there are 30,000 dead, including 12,000 children, and the Israelis are still bombing in the north, bombing in the south, and as you noted, they are now going to make another move into Rafah, where over a million Palestinians are sheltering, and they have nowhere to go.
Are a majority of Americans opposed to what the Israelis are doing in Gaza and to the American support of it by supplying the weapons and ammunition and spare parts that the IDF uses in order to perpetrate slaughter?
Well, the polls that I've seen over the past 2 weeks seem to indicate that there has been a swing away from the usual knee-jerk support of Israel, they have a right to defend themselves, this kind of nonsense that Nancy Pelosi is so good at. And it seems from the polls that there certainly is a distinct swing towards a ceasefire, because nobody likes to see this kind of carnage. And there are various views in terms of what comes next. But at this point, we just basically have to stop the killing, and we have to start talking. And once you are talking, you can raise the issues that you have nearest to your heart and try to resolve them. And the U.S. is basically not helping this process, and of course Israel is not helping.
Your regard dog apparently detected the presence of someone, but it was quite exciting to see him bolt from his usual happy position over your left shoulder, Phil.
what she said is really absurd.
Captain,
last week she said that the demonstrations for a ceasefire in the United States were fomented by Vladimir Putin. I mean, you talk about a disconnect. Yesterday, now correct me if I'm wrong, Phil, because this is so preposterous, I almost can't believe that she said it, but you reported it. She purportedly said, well, the IDF is not using any equipment or ammunition or bombs that the U.S. sent. They're using their own, so don't blame us. Did she say that, and is it, in, by any stretch of an imagination, if she said it, true?
Yeah, I saw the clip where she said it. And, of course, in addition to the Russians, she also mentioned it could be the Chinese who were fomenting these demonstrations, too. Because, you know, there are a lot of enemies out there, apparently, except for Israel. She's incredible. She's an idiot. And she says these things, and 200... I've seen press in the New York Times, in fact, some of the effect of 200 or 2,000 tons of munitions have been shipped by air by the Biden administration to Israel, and they're certainly being used. I mean, there were very specific weapons that they called for, including these bunker buster bombs that weighed 2,000 pounds and were dropped on a number of several hospitals in northern Gaza. And these tank munitions that were especially fall over there, $300 million worth, these are used in urban fighting to blow up buildings and that sort of thing. So, you know, she's so badly informed that she feels compelled to say these things to cover up her ignorance, or basically she's just, she should not be answering things that she should have. She feels she has to lie, and there's too much lying going on.
I think that's right. There's so much lying going on, the Democrats have no choice because the facts are all against them, so they have to lie. It is disgusting. It is repulsive. And it's the way things are today right here in the USA.
You know, I'm trying to find the article I put up. I believe I put it up, but it's something like 28,000 Palestinians are dead now. Trying to see if it's my breaking news column. But I want to add something about Nancy Pelosi that I'm quite aware of. She at one time was acting, this was in the early 2000 time frame, in one of the elections, I think 2004. And she was acting, and she wouldn't vote on a certain bill. So they bribed her. And the way they bribed her is they gave her a refinery in California, a wine refinery. And they gave her husband in that trust, they gave him Walt Disney stock was her payoff. Just for the edification of the listeners. Anybody can check it out, and you'll find out it came from Daddy Bush. Go ahead, Joe. You got any comment?
No, not really.
Jim?
I think we've covered the bases, Stu.
Okay. If we've covered the bases, that's what we needed to do. And I thank both of you for coming on with me, Professor James Fetzer and Professor Joel. And Jim, give out your website.
JamesHFetzer.org, BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer, Twitter, @JimFetzer. Welcome, one and all.
Okay, well, thank you both very much. I appreciate it. You have a good one, both of you.
You too.